back, everyone, to one of our podcast episodes, Intuitive Conversations with Tamara and Chantel. I'm Chantel Neufeld.
I'm Tamara Franz.
And we're starting a new series that we're very excited about.
Yeah, we get together every once in a while and have coffee and talk about, well, what are we interested in these days? And in our last conversation, we started making all these movie references. And so we thought, well, why don't we just talk about some of the movies that have spoken to us on a metaphorical level? We're always all about empowerment. So what are movies that have had interesting things to say about empowerment and relate that to the world we live in and that kind of thing? So today we're starting off with Ella Enchanted, and you're going to explain why.
It was my idea. That was the one that came to me. Because it's something that I've been struggling with my whole life, is the obedience curse. I felt like, you know, even as a baby, I had some kind of, like, I don't know, like for my parents or the church, a blessing, a laying on of hands of obedience. And I felt like even as like a toddler, I was in boot camp. Like, it was like that kind of
boot camp.
It was like that word was said every day. There was physical punishment if there, you know, like anything was out of line. And I never knew like if I was doing something wrong or not. So I always was, yeah. So this has been a challenging curse for me, but breaking
it
for
sure.
Okay,
we're going to get into it. Yeah. I hadn't seen it, so I watched it last week and took some notes. And one of the first things that I reflected on was just how obedience is kind of the prime virtue in a patriarchal society or any kind of a dominator society. And it was interesting, as I was waiting for you to come over today, I just was, you know, looking up. I did a search, obedience curse, on YouTube. And what came up was there's an old-time pastor. His name is Charles Stanley. I've never heard of the guy.
Oh, yeah. He was on the radio when I was growing up.
Okay. So there's all these sermons of his on YouTube, and there was one called The Obedience School. So I started listening to it a little bit, and I was really struck the first, when he was talking about obedience training, and the first thing that came up was you need to trust. And so this idea of like complete trust, you know, it took me sort of to Adam and Eve in the garden and the innocence of trust, right? Do as I say without any thought, participate in the non-thought of received ideas and just go with it. Just trust, right? There's no training around discernment. Is somebody worthy of your trust? Is somebody, do they have the integrity to be able to lead you along? You know, it's just this complete giving away of your own internal compass. Yeah. But actually, before we go further, I should maybe give a synopsis for anyone who is watching and hasn't seen Ella Enchanted. And it's basically a loose retelling of the Cinderella story. So Ella is Cinderella, and as an infant, when she's born, her fairy godmother shows up, drunk-ish.
Yeah, Lucinda was her name.
Lucinda, yeah, and slaps her with the gift, yes, of complete obedience. And it's interesting, I wrote down the quote, actually, what she said, well, first of all, she said, because the baby was crying, not a very well-behaved little stinker, is she? And then she said, I've just given you the perfect child. So, you know, this focus on perfection and female perfection is really interesting. But anyway, as she grows up, this little Ella does whatever she's told. And
like robotically. Yeah. Almost like if someone, you know, like she wants to do something, but the other kid wants to do something else. It's just like, you know, that there's something.
Anytime
she's
told to do something, like, she just snaps to attention
and does
it. It's in
even
spite
if she
of,
doesn't want to do it.
Yeah. She has no agency, no autonomy whatsoever. And her mother and the house fairy are the only ones who know about this curse. And they never tell anyone because they know she'll be taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. So then when the mother dies, of course, and the father marries the evil stepmother, and with the two stepdaughters, they all come in and very quickly figure out that they have a willing servant there who has no capacity actually to fight back against their commands. And so she basically becomes their slave. And then eventually they spill the beans to the evil king, the uncle of Prince Charming of the realm, who is about to be crowned. By that time, he's already fallen in love with Ella. And so the king's neat solution to get rid of both of them is to command her that she's going to kill him, and gives her a dagger, and she can't refuse. So there's a moment, spoiler alert, if you go watch the movie, it's on YouTube if you don't want the spoiler, but the climax comes at the coronation ball when he takes her out to propose in the Hall of Mirrors. And as she's lifting the dagger, they're in an embrace, and she's about to kill him, and she sees herself in the mirror. And there's a moment of truth where she realizes that she can refuse, drops the knife, and then she frees herself from the spell. But there's a few complications after that to get to the happy ending. So,
Yeah, the whole thing is just full of metaphors and
oh, tons, tons, yeah. So, like, the movie to me really brought out really clearly. It's kind of cheesy.
it's for
It's like
little
a
kids,
chick
right?
flick kind of, yeah, teenager movie. But it really does bring out the danger of, and the lack of defense for the person who is under the obedience spell, which would be in a patriarchal society, all girls and women. And there's a, oh, it says like the nerd, there's a narrator in the story, and there's a moment where he says, Ella grew up, where was it? She grew up strong. There's a little rhyme.
You have some really good notes there.
Yeah, if I could find it in here, but it was something about despite her gift, she grew up strong in mind. Her gift made her obedient, but her heart made her kind. And to me, that was the portrait of the disempowered empath. Because the empath has the moral compass to be able to put themselves in someone else's shoes, to know how something is going to feel, to have the heart and the compassion. But then the obedience ham ties the person, the empath, from being able to stand forward in their power and do the thing that their compass is telling them to do.
I'm just thinking just suddenly now about astrology and how every type has like the good and the bad, or like the what you're moving towards and moving out of, and this definitely resonates with me
And
about what I'm
I
moving
like
out of.
to, yeah, and as an astrologer, I like to use the language of empowered and disempowered,
Yeah, there you go.
ways of harnessing the energy of
Or
your
helpful or
sign. Yeah,
unhelpful, yeah.
yeah. But it is total disempowerment. I mean, that is the goal in under the obedience curse, that you disable a person's internal guidance insofar as you can. And if you can't completely disable their inner guidance, then you compromise them, right? Bad things will happen to your family.
Or in the cult I grew up in, you'll get out from the umbrella of protection, and the
Oh,
evil one and the bad guys will get you.
yeah. And you see in the movie, there's a point where the stepmother and stepsisters very quickly separate her from her good friend, and they force her to be the one to reject her friend.
Like a very narcissistic thing to do because they want all the energy. They don't want any of her energy going towards this friend.
But
And they don't want that influence either.
the pain of the empath, who is, the torture of that inner divide between I know what's right, I know what feels right. And you've talked about this in your own growing up, right? The things that just didn't feel kind, didn't feel right. And yet you're being told, obey, 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 because this is the highest virtue. God wants an obedient heart, right?
Growing up with conspiracy theorist parents who are telling you what to do and that you have to obey, but everything on their end is questioning everything in their surroundings. So their example is also teaching me indirectly. But those things can clash with each
Yeah,
other, right?
it's such a hallmark, right? Because when you look at, and I, as much as I want to stay away from it, I can't because it's such a glaring example. The MAGA world and the Trump administration, right? People get so frustrated about the hypocrisy, right? We're going to preach family values. We're going to talk about fiscal conservatism. We're going to, the worst thing is to be a child predator and all those kinds of things. And then when it comes to the administration, and even in the evangelical world, right? Pastor after pastor after pastor caught in situations of compromise, sexual misconduct, all those kinds of things. And it's always glossed over. And, watching this movie reinforced for me, it's because the prime value is obedience. So the hypocrisy doesn't matter as much. It's, are you being obedient?
But it's like such a dangerous thing, because like little girls are being taught that like it doesn't matter, you just have to obey, and like men and boys are like above you. And so when they get into compromising situations, they're not trained to, say no to those kinds of things. And then the boys being raised as like we're better than women think that they can impose their will on the girls, and like like it's forbidden but yet almost glorified like in another way.
Like officially, you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't be this way. But you know what?
But
Nobody
we're
in
better than them, and you can assert your power over them whenever you want.
It was really interesting to me in the movie that the way they bring in the gold, the glass slipper, is that one of the stepsisters commands Cinderella to steal them from a window display. And the glass slipper is like, I kind of looked online, what is the symbol of the glass slippers? And what was coming up was like the ideal of womanhood, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, this fragile, breakable, in a glass case kind of thing. This is the ideal womanhood. And I love that they broke the stereotype with this Ella character. But how, this on the one hand, you're told to obey, 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 obey. And then there's this manipulation of now we can use your obedience against you to make you do things that are against your code of honor or even any general code of honor, right? Ten Commandments say thou shalt not steal, but we can justify it if it's going to advance the Lord's work, right? Or so there's that sneakiness, there's that alienating you from your own inner guidance. But I was really struck watching the movie though about Prince Charming and how he was under his own obedience curse. But with men and boys, it's not overt. It's the bro code or the being loyal to the establishment, right? Just don't ask questions. And so there's this interesting contrast where she's under an obedience curse and has to do everything that she's told. So she's not free, but she knows it. And he's a free agent, but he doesn't realize
But he's
how
also being
he's manipulated
manipulated.
by the ignorance of privilege. Just, I don't have to question, what's happening in the kingdom. I don't have to, if my uncle says it, it must be true, right? The giants need to have their land taken away because they were uprising against us. And so he's a prisoner, but in his mind, yeah, unknowingly.
Definitely. Yeah, there's so many things that we could dig into with the movie. Just personally, like I don't know if I told you this yet, but I had a reading by Amanda Flaker. I get one every year. I had one this week, and yeah, it was just really clear that I need to like find my boundaries and be firm in them. And yeah, I could go into that a lot. I won't, but on the way here, I was listening to Sonia Choquette, her podcast, and her two daughters were talking about this glass of water, like to be a glass of water, to be contained, like so like the water would be my energy. And what I was doing was just spilling the water all over the table. And just, it's just all out there. There's no containment. Like I'm just gonna do what everybody wants. Like it's that's kind of the obedience curse symbolism to me. But like when you have your cup of water and you keep your water in there, you're like you know where your boundaries are. You can be more potent in the world. You can, like, people can take a sip, like they can be nourished from you, but they can't really be helped if you're just spilled all over the table.
Yeah. That's the real contradiction of the curse of obedience, is because you kind of get this conditioned message that your obedience is your show of love to God, to country.
Your virtue symbol.
Yeah, but really, is coerced love actual love, right? As a parent, do I feel like my children really love me if they're obeying me because I've got a strap hanging on the wall? Or I'm going to crack down on them the minute they don't do something, you know? And there's this always, as I never, it never sat well with me, this idea that even Adam and Eve, you know, are given free will. So what is the point of the gift of free will if you're still going to be punished by making a choice? And if you think about every fairy tale, just about, the action only really starts when the hero or the heroine makes the choice to disobey. So don't go into that locked room, right? Don't drink from this well, or there's always a don't,
the tree
don't.
The knowledge of good and evil.
Because we want to keep you in your state of innocence and helplessness, really. Like you, the minute you become a free agent, you are uncontrollable. You're not predictable. And there's that great moment in the movie where she sings Somebody to Love, Queen, right? And she gets coerced into it because they're saying sing, but they're, it's not so much a command as they just want to enjoy, they want her to have a good time, but she's got to do it. And so she's singing, and then they're saying, like, put some soul into it, and she takes her hair down, and she's just like, and that's the moment where she first steps into her power in the movie. But then she sings those lines, and I had such a shiver. I gotta step out of this prison cell, one day I'm gonna be free. And wow, just the, what a visual of what it looks like when an empath steps into their power.
Yeah, and what you were saying before too is just coming up for me again about, like, are you a good person because your motivation is, I don't want to get punished? Like, I don't want to take it from the cops. You know, like, does that really make you a good person?
To be honest, sometimes I need that one.
But I mean, like, I feel like what makes a good person is just to do something for, like, the good of all. Like, Amanda Flaker keeps talking about the win-win-win, the good, a win for yourself, a win for others, a win for humanity. It has to be a win all around. And what empaths have done in the past is just only a win for others and just left ourselves out of the equation. And so it's all about remembering to take a breath, include yourself in the equation, and then it can be a win for everybody.
And there is a real enabling that happens on our behalf when we're doing things for everybody, right? There's never, I wrote a poem once because I was reading the story of Arthur, and Arthur, the young boy, as a young boy, he was so entranced with the idea of becoming a knight. And so he said to Merlin, if I were to become a knight, I would hold a vigil the night before, and I would pray to God that I would meet all the evil in the world in my own person so that I could overcome it. And isn't that an empath, right? Mm-hmm. And Merlin actually got very angry with him. You have no idea what you're talking about. And so I wrote a poem about all that, because sometimes I say to my husband, I think that empaths are the snails of the world, right? The snails filter the fish tank and they keep the water clean. And it's the empaths that are like sponging all that negative energy from around them. But then what are we doing with it, right? Where does it go? It often turns into depression and anxiety and all of those inner things, because you don't have a way of releasing it.
Or you haven't learned how to.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then you're letting that, the enabling piece is that you are taking the burden away from everyone else to deal with their own crap. And you're saying, oh, let me cleanse that for you. Let me be the snail who filters out your fish tank.
So it's like stopping their evolution.
Yeah. I
felt that as a parent too.
Yeah.
Like, how am I enabling my kids to, you know, if I'm just trying to shelter them from any bad thing out there, or.
Yeah, like everyone has to build their own muscle.
Mm-hmm.
But
resilience, and like, how do you know you're going to be okay out there? Because you were okay last time, right? But if there was never that moment, because your mom sheltered you from all of it.
Yeah. There was something really interesting in the movie, actually, and I think this is like we're getting to this. The reason why she's able to drop the knife in the end is because she sees herself in the mirror. And that made me really think about the power of the mirror and what does the mirror stand for? And there was a time when nobody had mirrors, right? So what changed when the mirror was brought in as a household item? And people were able to see themselves because up until then, really what your conception of yourself was what people reflected back to you. So, and then there was the cautionary tale about Narcissus in Greek mythology who saw his reflection in the pond and fell in love with himself and couldn't leave it and just became consumed with his reflection. But being able to see yourself in the mirror and she's looking, she's got the dagger she's holding up and seeing herself in the mirror, like I have the potential to be a murderess. And then that's the moment where she realizes I choose something different for myself and breaks the spell. But there's all these interesting, like Snow White, the Evil Queen, and her mirror, right? The mirror is reflecting back what she wants to hear and what she wants to see. I thought of Harry Potter and the Mirror of Erised, where that shows, his deepest desires, and that becomes addicting.
Sometimes
So.
I think for empaths, they see themselves only through the eyes of others, and they don't, because they don't know who they are
Yeah.
deep down,
Like I
so.
think where for some people, if the ego is really running the show, the mirror is that symbol of the dangers of ego control. But for the empath, it's actually seeing yourself for the first time. And I thought of Divergent, the book, where there are these different factions that you have to choose when you reach puberty, whatever. And the main character grows up in the abnegation factor of faction where they're not allowed to have mirrors in the house. And that, traditional, like very conservative societies, that was kind of a thing. You don't keep a mirror because you don't want to become captivated by yourself or whatever.
I grew up with that too, that you're not supposed to spend very much time primping in front of the mirror, doing your hair, doing your makeup. Like that was very frowned upon because then you would think too highly of yourself and get a big head. But everything in balance, you know what I mean? Like.
Well, it also made me think of Mel, is it Robinson or Mel Robbins? Mel, she does that high-five thing,
The
high-five the
let
mirror.
them. Mel Robbins.
So the thing of like looking in the mirror every morning and high-fiving yourself as a way of just kind of cheering you into the day. And Louise Hay had the mirror work of like you look in the mirror and say, I love you to yourself.
I've seen many drawings of like the person hugging themselves through the mirror, like that they can, or the person in the mirror can reach out and hug them back. In hypnosis, there's a little thing about, imagining yourself looking into the mirror and seeing yourself smiling back at you with a bright beaming smile, and you smile right back and like spread that energy to all the cells of your body, so all the cells are smiling too. Like there's something about mirrors.
It's just a really interesting symbol of like being seen, seeing ourselves. Because I think you're right, like as a empaths find it easier to see themselves through others. I think that's just kind of the primary way that we see ourselves and even feel ourselves, because I'm much better at feeling other people's emotions than my own. So the mirror then was an empowering was empowering for her. It was like that moment of, I want my integrity. Are we at a tag?
Close there, yeah.
But there's so much more to say.
I know.
There was
What
something.
are the points that we haven't quite hit on yet? I
There
think
was
we've hit on
something
them.
right near the end. Oh, yes. Well, the dropping of the knife to me was like that bid for authenticity. Okay, I choose today who I am. But immediately she was put in prison. So there's a price to pay, in a society of conformity, if you choose to be authentic. But the ending, the rhyme at the end was, there's just one thing to learn. You can never go wrong if you follow your heart and end it with a song. And I just thought that's how we
Wow,
always end, isn't
that
it?
is how we always end.
Because your heart song can't lead you wrong. And in shamanic societies, There was one exercise I learned many, many years ago where you just sit in the silence and you listen for the song of your heart
I
and you
need
will hear
that.
one. And I use that sometimes if I'm feeling like I need some courage, or sometimes even if I'm sitting in traffic or standing in a line somewhere. Which just made me think of the Neil Diamond song, Turn On Your Heart Light. Yeah.
Well, I feel like the mind is always in duality and in judgment, but when you can shift your energy from your mind to your heart, then you can like do better in the world, like with public speaking or with making decisions or anything like that. You're more in balance.
And the mind is where all that those conditioned ideas are anyway, the limiting beliefs and the so
unbalanced.
the heart is really where the freedom is going to come from. Yeah. Okay, so go watch Ella Enchanted, and we'd love comments if anybody has seen it or relates to things that we talked about here.
Or if there's a movie you'd like us to review.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Okay, until next time.
Keep singing
your
your
heart
heart song.